GTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here is today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus from high atop the beautiful and ultra-modern bioscience building. I'm honored this morning to introduce our listener and to my guest, Staff Sergeant Christopher Gordon, who is the Wisconsin Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Noncommissioned Officer, and his office is at the Kenosha Armory off of 39th Avenue. And we'll be discussing education benefits, opportunities, incentives that exist and support military training and mission focus in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. But before we start with background introductions and conversations about his past, I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation to our guest for his contribution, patriotism, and service. Additionally, I would add that from a personal standpoint, as a matter of editorial focus, today's Education Matters show is not a recruiting event per se, as much as I am proud to characterize a comparison of opportunities to consider for young people, their parents, and other educators in the interest of supporting the optimum informed choice about the value education plays in and to the military in the various capabilities in which one may serve. This is truly about battlefield unity, mutual support, and reinforcing the fact that military education and training is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Military service is characterized by understanding increasingly complex, technologically advanced, confidential, oftentimes, equipment and tactical operation concepts. This requires higher-order intellectual or thinking application and skill sets, and each branch, component, and mission has its unique importance and is truly unable to accomplish their force and integration mission success as a standalone function. And so, again, most of our conversation this morning will be directed at the higher education, certainly application of training in the military and the especially within the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And the truly Sergeant Gordon's position and a status in the community as an education resource. Now, as I do with all my guests, I'm going to ask Sergeant Gordon to describe his professional background and the role education has played in bringing him to this point. Sergeant Gordon, again, I think that I can start by saying I realize that you are a Red Devil. You are a Bradford graduate. And if you could bring us to current from there and how that any training and other educational experiences have impacted your outlook and ability to move forward, be greatly appreciated.
All right, we'll do. First off, good morning, Chuck. Thanks for having me. And education, how has it shaped me? How has it shaped my beginning from my military career to today? It shaped me in all ways, shapes, or form. There's a little, phrase that I truly believe in that says education is the key to leadership. And throughout my military military training and education, my professional education, as well as my academic education, has helped me get to where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
To elaborate a little bit, basically, initially started, I was a student at UW-Parkside, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do at the time. I knew that I was in school, and I wanted to be in school, and I wanted to study, I wanted to learn. I just wasn't exactly sure what. And, of course, during that time, it was around the early September time frame, September 11th, or September 2001, and the morning of September 11th, our towers got hit, unfortunately. So at that point, I knew what my next step was going to be, considering my family heritage of serving in the military.
Okay.
So, of course, my realization of going to the military in the first place and the purpose came from my foundation of education in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Upon joining, I joined into the regular Army or the active duty Army, where I was initially stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia, a member of the 3rd Infantry Division.
The Benning School for Boys.
Correct.
Well, one characterization. Yeah. But go ahead.
And then from there, I deployed to Iraq. came back, and from there, when I was in Iraq, I re-enlisted to stay in the Army. My intention at that time was, I'm going to enlist and continue on my education, because from the day I started in the Army, I continued my education. And my plan was, by the time I finish with this, my second enlistment, I'm either going to know what I want to do if I want to stay in the Army, or at that time, I'm going to finish my college education and get back out into the world.
And use and parlay what education opportunities you were exposed to, I guess is the best way to put it, and I will expand a little bit on that, as a means of your marketability in the civilian community is what I'm hearing you were looking at possibly doing.
100% correct.
So, and focusing on the military as truly an educational setting besides just a training setting, and most people, unfortunately, will characterize, well, that's just a way we get people onto airplanes and project our force overseas and so forth. Those skills require a tremendous amount of training support and education recognition and reinforcement. From day one, and you were September 11th, 2001 time frame, mm-hmm. and I don't even want to go into how far back I started, but from day one, the basic training experience is transformative. And if one describes learning as a measurable change in behavior, certainly the military training environment and setting is one that will take place very, very conspicuously. The very, very first things that you tend to learn in basic training may have changed a little bit in terms of the course of study, if you want to call it that, from the time that you enter till the time you are graduated from basic training. But on margin, reassure, or if it is reassuring, perhaps inform our listeners about what kind of training opportunities and educational support one would typically experience in basic training, so that we're going to talk a little bit later about college, certainly, and higher education, because I think that people would be very, very reassured to know that the military, whether it be the Wisconsin Army National Guard, or let's just say someone wants to go and join the U.S. Air Force, and they're going to basic training at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, they're still taking part and participating in an educational process. And it's higher education because it is post-secondary. The one great advantage is they're not absorbing crushing student loans. They are being paid to learn and paid to train and learn marketable skill sets. What would one typically look like at, let's just say, if we're looking at the Wisconsin Army National Guard, which is what you are a local expert and resource in, they're going to go to the U.S. Army basic training.
Correct.
And that could be at any number of sites. It could be Fort Leonard Wood, for example, depending on what job or space available, or perhaps Fort Jackson. I think they call it Relaxin' Jackson, South Carolina. Probably some people that went there would not want to hear that. But these are nicknames, and it's just part of the culture. Everyone seems to get a nickname. Again, starting that whole process, what education transcripted credit can one look at experiencing and being credited with, and how that might be transferred and applied to a college transcript somewhere down the road, and so that they don't a student or a future soldier would not necessarily have to just start taking biology classes to be to get a degree in biology, for example, but that some of what they have gained in basic training, their basic military training, could be applied to their transcript. And how would that work? Is that something you can delve into a little bit?
I can't elaborate on that. I have experience with it myself, and those are some of the credit opportunities that I used towards my degree.
Sure. And your degree, I have a little inside track because I have a little inside information about that degree. And a lot of that was based on very, very specific, very, very challenging direct military application training. And your personal credentials and experience in combatives, what people would call mixed martial arts, and that kind of training, which is an aspect of personal training, is what you got trained and paid to do, and now you are credentialed in that area.
Oh, that is very correct. I took all the courses leading up or that one would have to take to become a trainer or instructor trainer in the combatives program, as well as additional training opportunities that were afforded
to me. Higher level combatives.
Very much so. They're afforded to me outside of the initial curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But the curriculum itself is what would be called or what would get put on what's called military transcripts.
Sure.
And so all your training from basic training to job training, to any additional skill set training, professional development training, or rank training so you get promoted, all that is going to get put on what's called your military transcripts.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you'll submit those to the college. And depending on which degree it is that you're focusing on and then what your professional training was in, some of that can cross – well, all of it will cross over. But the amount of credits that you can get for it is going to be degree slash training dependent.
Right. And it will be determined by – instructor contact hours, the amount of time, in other words, that you have with an instructor. If most people would be surprised to learn that within a two-week training exercise or something of that nature, the number of hours that one would be involved in and participating in might equate to an entire semester of credit when you consider that there's a lot of sleep deprivation involved in some of these experiences. And so that for the amount of time that you're being observed, the number of hours, as I said, might in fact come very, very close to equating to an entire semester of college classroom hours.
Correct.
And so it's very, very difficult to make a direct slam dunk kind of a correlation. But the college-level counselors and advisors are pretty well trained and versed in what to look for in terms of the military transcripts and training records.
Correct. At every higher institution, college, whatnot, there are slated individuals that is their job, that is the position, the expertise that they hold, is the ability to transfer your military experience over into the college world so that you can get credits for it.
So as part of the combatives training that you experienced and at the basic level, and I think that's 1 and 2 level, and then there's 3 and 4, which
correct.
Is conducted and refined by the Special Operations Command, as you're going through that training, you're learning about leverage. You're learning about muscle groups. You are learning about diet. You are learning about how to train and how to teach somebody so that one – combatives class may not, in fact, result in 6 or 9 credits of straight physical education, but there will be aspects that can be applied and directed to a physical education credit. There might be an aspect that is that has to do with pedagogy and or andragogy, and that would be teaching methods, and that might be. As an aspect or a portion of that whole training, maybe 1 credit or a half a credit might be that instructor training aspect. And that certainly speaks to psychology and some of those other academic disciplines that contribute to performing that skill set. What else can you tell us just basically, because this is very, very – it's fascinating. It's interesting. I think that people certainly would want to hear after, my goodness, receiving all this training, you are credentialed essentially as a personal trainer in very, very specialized aspects of combatives. What else did you experience? And that was at Fort Benning pretty much?
Correct.
Okay. And how long a period of time were you involved in – I know you were an instructor, so that was part of your assignment.
Correct.
But the actual training – about how long a training session was that or a period of time was that for the training?
Well, as far as purely combatives goes, since I've been in the Army, my initial 2003 when I initially joined, or actually prior to 2003, that training has been – I've been training since then. However,
sure.
2006, after I returned from Iraq, is when I started to get into the certification courses.
Uh-huh.
And then later on into the instructor courses.
Okay. And is that something that you were volunteered for, or did you volunteer, or did you say something to your chain of command, your squad leader, your platoon
sergeant? I 100%
sergeant,
volunteered for it. Okay. I wanted it. I waited a long time to receive the opportunity to do it, and as soon as I received it, I went after it. Typically, after you get back from a deployment, a lot of
possibilities
to
open up.
Correct. And at the same, it's kind of one of two things. Like, either you're going to get opportunities to go all the schools you want to, or it's really time to take advantage of that downtime and just
quality time with your family
exactly,
that you missed and so
back.
Forth. Sure, sure.
And at that time, it was just me, so you know, I was fully intended on taking advantage of opportunities.
And you were focused on that kind of training and the opportunities. Did you find an announcement in a common area or on your in the training room or something like that? Or did someone in a formation say, hey, they're looking for people to be involved in this training?
No, there was not. From my time that I initially went in, there was always opportunities to go train on post for free. So I would do that.
Yeah.
And then when I got back from Iraq, I started doing that again. And then pretty much through that network, I started to hear about the courses.
Okay.
And so essentially I went out there and I got it. I went out there and I looked for it. I found the times. I found the dates. I went back to my chain of command. I cleared it, got everything corrected in the system, and then I went out there and I took the course.
And corrected in the system means you submitted the proper forms. It's kind of an administrative jungle gym, and if you
Very
want to call
so.
It that, because there
so.
Are forms that have to be submitted in triplicate and signed off by all the right people and so forth. Otherwise, it's interesting to note then that many of these opportunities are offered free of charge at a very, very high level with people that have a tremendous amount of real-world experience with these methods and as a matter of fact, in being able to refine them to ensure that they are most accurate and relevant and certainly going to contribute to your mission success and survivability. The other thing I might mention is sometimes you have no choice. You can't just – I mean, oftentimes you can go to a gym and take advantage of – or one of the fitness centers on a military base, as you said, and take advantage of the training. Otherwise, that might just be on the training schedule for PT, physical training, that morning, because I know my son does that now at Fort Bragg. That's a part of their physical training, and that reinforcement is extremely reassuring to know and can equate – directly as a combat multiplier in terms of the confidence that those soldiers
Correct.
Have.
Big time. The one of the main purposes and focus points within the combatives program, essentially the whole entire purpose of it, is to build and sustain warrior ethos, which is that something that is developed inside you that gives you the mental, physical, moral strength to keep going, keep fighting, close a distance, mainly close distance with the enemy.
Correct.
But, of course, that can be applied to anything in life to where you close a distance with that challenge or that situation with that hardship that's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why combatives are so contagious.
And that ethos
or
that
on.
Ethic is truly part of what is being reinforced as that you call it a warrior ethos, but it is part of the military culture.
Correct.
And that's across the board. Instead of someone coming in thinking, well, I'm just a this or I'm just a that, and my specialty is my typewriter or whatever it happens to be. I know the Marine Corps has, for the longest time, had a very, very good reputation at establishing a common sense and a common vision in that respect. And I'm reassured to see that I think across the board and all the other branches they're attempting to, or at least getting real, real close to doing the same thing. Is there anything else you would want to add to that?
Yeah, there definitely is. With the combatives program, one of the beautiful parts of being in the Wisconsin Army National Guard is that all of our members in the area, when we do combatives courses here in the state, is that all of our members get put on orders by the Guard to train in these courses. And so
that's huge.
We do it locally out of our armories, and all of our members are put on orders, receiving military pay, and this is good for their professional development, their career.
Absolutely.
Training, learning, because the big part of it, essentially the most important part of it, is you're walking away with skills and lessons that the purpose is to take back to your team, to your squad, to your platoon, to your company, so that you, in turn, can train others.
Sure.
All right. So it's a simple fact.
It's a train-a-trainer mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even at the lowest level. So when we hold these courses in the Wisconsin Army National Guard, we train the trainers, mm-hmm. we teach each other, we learn from precise Army doctrine, and then we put this back out into our units.
Which is battle-proven.
Exactly.
These are all based on lessons. These lessons are based on what are called BDAR, lesson learned, battlefield damage assessment reports, and lessons learned.
Correct.
And they're deployed into the field in updated manuals and so forth.
Correct.
This is extremely important because the one thing I want to add is that I mentioned that your office is at the Kenosha Armory, and to the best of my knowledge, that is it still a motor transportation? I know at one time it was field artillery, and I think that it might be helpful for people in the community to know how it's transformed itself or evolved.
Correct. Nowadays, or within the past couple, I'd say roughly 10 years, 5 to 10 years, the Armory had switched over from being a field artillery unit, which is now, they are now a maintenance unit.
Okay. So
they're all mechanics, and lightweight mechanics, generator mechanics.
Aha. So motor maintenance.
Basically hands-on maintenance, mechanics, wrench turners, guys that like to get in there and fix things. Well, guys and girls that like to get in there and fix things.
Sure. And those young ladies are fixing their heavy wheel vehicle mechanics. They could be track vehicle mechanics. The important thing to realize is that they are also involved in the combatives as part of their drill. Part of their active duty time that they're being paid for is to have those skills reinforced. And is there for them also a classroom educational component that you're aware of that someone would be able to say, wow, that's kind of interesting that they get all this. What is it good for? Well, if a college requires you to have so many credits of physical education, trust me, you're going to have a bunch.
Hmm. Correct, correct. There is a multiple different modules, files, instruction-based curriculum, as well as physical. So essentially what you're doing is you learn it, you got it on paper, you got to study it, and then you got to put it to practical use.
Sure.
And then after you put it to practical use and you develop a skill set, well, now you got to put it into a real life or a tactical mm-hmm. scenario.
So there are formal classes, and this is part of higher education because it's not necessarily information that you're going to be getting in high school. And that, I think, paints or places a more realistic look at how this is being applied in the higher education setting.
Very much so, because what's going to happen is you're going to get your instruction in that classroom the same way you would in college.
Sure.
So you're going to get your instruction in the classroom. You're going to be taught dry erase board, chalkboard, whatever the case may be. You're going to have handouts that you need to study, that you need to know, syllabus.
Absolutely. Sure. Maybe a textbook or
the FM/21.
So you
get this information, you learn in your classroom, you study the philosophies, the theories, the thought behind it, the strategies, the histories. And then, of course, you go out there and you put some of the techniques that you just studied into practical use, learn how to do them, teach your body how to react and act in a certain way. And then you get the opportunities to do it against a fully resistant opponent,
mm-hmm.
which is difficult. So you find out, okay, maybe you got to make certain tweaks here, certain tweaks there. And that allows you to really define your techniques so that you can use them should a real-time situation ever happen.
And that real-time situation is going to be where a soldier may be deployed, the kind of thing that reinforcement, repetition as far as that training and education application is concerned, is extremely important. You cannot substitute for having that kind of exposure over and over and over again, and that there's an expected outcome and there's an expected performance standard that is going to lead to success.
Correct, and as well as with the Army Learning System, the National Guard uses these classes in the same format, which is a crawl, walk, run format.
Correct.
So you don't have to be an expert up front. You don't have to know anything about combatives, anything about basically anything about the subject that you're going to get trained in. All right, the system is designed to teach the lowest denominator.
And so you're going to learn capitalize on the individual learning style and strength of each individual that's in the class.
Correct. Correct.
And I think that's the beauty of the Army training system, or what you're characterizing as the Army learning system now, which is probably a far more accurate interpretation or reflection because of the strong emphasis and recognition of the importance of education and academic skills. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. Today's guest is Staff Sergeant Christopher Gordon. He's a Wisconsin Army National Guard recruiting and retention non-commissioned officer, and his office is at the Kenosha Armory. Today's topic is education benefits, opportunities, and incentives available in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And having said that, I and been very not only entertained but informed extremely well about your background. Flipping to another subject and going right to the heart of the Wisconsin Army National Guard as an education resource, or I should say option, and the resource in this case of the community expert is yourself. What are the education options that exist in the Wisconsin Army National Guard for applicants, or and maybe inform us as to what is the best way to refer to that future soldier? Is it, it's a, either an applicant or a candidate. I don't know what the current vernacular is, but I want to make sure that we're characterizing everybody fairly.
Well, initially we characterize them as an applicant.
Okay.
This is an individual that is coming in, essentially applying to some level or some degree for membership within the Wisconsin Army National Guard.
Okay.
All right. So initially when that person comes in, he's an applicant.
Mm-hmm.
So he's applying. Let's see
he
where this
or
thing
she.
Goes.
Yep.
Oh, correct. You're right.
Yep.
He or she, you know, applies. And we're going to take some time. We're going to get to know each other.
Right.
I'm going to ask that person. First I have to make sure that they're eligible. And then I ask that person, basically, why are they sitting in front of me?
Sure.
And I need to figure out and determine whether or not I can help them.
And is this a fit?
Exactly. Is it a fit? Because realistically, they may want to serve, but it might not be a good idea for them. All right. They may be looking for something that I cannot offer them.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, yeah. They got to go somewhere else.
You have to be very careful and selective in terms of guiding that decision-making process. I'm sure that as young people come to you, it might be a very tempting enticing, I guess, is the best way to put it, direction to go as far as it might be something based on a family member, a family tradition, as you mentioned in your case. But if that person has been looking at a lot of television and so forth and so on, and they're thinking, geez, I'd like to be stationed in Japan and learn more about the culture, is where do we go from there? And then we'll talk about the education benefits.
Well, from there, again, first I got to find out why it is they're sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They may say, hey, I want to go to Japan. Well, why do you want to go to Japan? Well, because some video I saw, but I didn't really like the video, but I still want to serve. Well, one has nothing to do with the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So getting past that initial surface reason.
Yep.
Okay. I can find out, hey, maybe this is a better fit for you because your desire to go to Japan is based off something that maybe isn't true.
Right.
Like a video game or a movie or something mm-hmm. like that. However, if it is and they're, you know, they just want to go out, Japan, travel, whatever the case is.
Right. Germany.
Exactly.
Spain.
Whatever the case is, I'm here to serve the people of Wisconsin.
Okay.
First and foremost, and of course, serve my country. So if that isn't in line with what that person wants,
mm-hmm.
Then he needs to go talk to somebody else.
Yeah. They might need to talk to the U.S. Air Force, for example.
Yeah,
it has
means.
Duty stations over there. And then at that point, you make the pretty much caring and unbiased resource recommendation that I probably don't have what you need here, but someone else does. I appreciate your interest,
yeah.
And this sounds like it's a great life, and we're going to send you forward, though, to someone who might be able to help more directly.
Very, very, yeah, very true. Like I said, they're going to sit in front of me, and I'm going to talk to them about the Guard because, realistically, I think it's the greatest organization in the military, so why wouldn't they want to serve? I just need to make sure that they understand who we are and what we do.
Right.
And, of course, if it does not
fit. What the limits and opportunities are.
Of course, what the limits and opportunities I'll have. I mean, if it doesn't fit, by all means, I can't give you the exact information you're looking for, but hopefully I can point you in the right direction to somebody who can.
Sure, sure. So if a person, if it's determined that this person is going to be a good fit for the Wisconsin Army National Guard, what are the education options that, and certainly that's going to come up in the conversation, because oftentimes those applicants and future soldiers come to you with the mindset or mentality, yep, I'm going to get my college degree and everything's going to be hunky-dory, I'm going to make a gazillion bucks or whatever with my degree, and or, you know, I just want to further my education and go as far as I can, and I value education as a process and as a means of creating opportunities and options and marketability for myself. So what does the Wisconsin Army National Guard have that maybe the U.S. Air Force or the U.S. Navy does not? And we're talking of those last two branches from the federal side because, as you've said, Wisconsin Army National Guard, much like Wisconsin Air National Guard, is a state-run organization.
Correct.
And there
are
different options and certainly a different focus.
That's very, very correct. With the Wisconsin Army National Guard, essentially we are a state military organization. However, we can't be called up upon by the President of the United States to serve on a federal level.
Sure.
All right. So with that being said, we receive both state and federal benefits because we are a part-time military force that can serve and will serve both, and that does serve both.
Sure. Much like the reserves.
Correct. Correct. So the big thing that separates us from the other branches of service is our state benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that number one state benefit is, of course, why a lot of individuals that are interested in going to school find their way into the Army National Guard.
Okay.
And for us, it is called the Wisconsin Army National Guard 100% tuition grant.
Okay.
All right.
How does that work?
Well, what that does is it's going to pay 100% of your college tuition for any state school.
Wow.
To include Madison, Milwaukee, Parkside, MATC, Gateway, multiple tech schools and schools within the UW system.
Sure.
Throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. So the UW system and the technical system.
Correct.
Wow. And how does one qualify to be eligible to take advantage of that benefit?
Join the Guard.
Okay. And to join the Guard, do you just stumble off the street into the armory and say, okay, Sergeant Gordon, here I am. I'm ready to go.
Well, first and foremost, in the Kenosha area, first you want to get in touch with me. You want to get a hold of me. There's multiple ways to do that. You can Google Kenosha Armory. You can find my contact information on there. You can look me up. I need the social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk to your family and friends because I'm from the area. I was raised here. I live here now. There's a good chance that somebody knows me.
Yep,
right?
That's
so
true.
So I'm very easy to get in touch
and
with.
And it's 1-800, was it Go Guard or something
like
that?
Basically to get the National Guard as a whole's attention, which will then eventually lead you to
filter
me.
Filter down to the state, yep.
Exactly, 1-800-GO-GUARD or NationalGuard.com.
Okay.
Of course, I have a personal number, 920-889-0141, that I can be contacted at. And that is my professional number. Feel free to use it.
And I'll try to remember to rebroadcast that or to reannounce that a little bit later. But we talked about, in terms of being eligible, just join the Guard. And you've got to pass, there's a number of loops to jump through. And and that has to do with the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery.
Right.
And again, those academic skills are very, very important. So whatever job one is interested in the Wisconsin Guard is also going to have something to do with what education opportunities are available to them. Now, what besides the Wisconsin reimbursement program do you have available? And maybe you should talk. Maybe we'll just back up and talk a little bit more about that because I believe that there's. I guess more to understand about how that works. And this is a reimbursement program?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And so how does that work then if someone's interested in taking advantage of that?
All right. So, of course, in order to take advantage of it, you need to join the Guard, which is a lot of times easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
However, for individuals that are interested in going to college, this is a huge step to get moving in that direction because it's easy to say I'm going to go to college, but the actual getting it done to get into college –
mm-hmm.
It's a process.
Yes.
There's a lot of do's and don'ts that you need to be on top of a placement test, application.
Oh, sure.
Talking to a guidance counselor, getting your program
right.
or your degree plan,
yeah.
your schedule, all this good stuff.
It's hard work. It's not going to be laid in your lap.
No, it's not. Not by any means. You got to go out there and you got to put in the work.
Yeah.
All right, which is essentially for individuals that come into the Guard and they want to go to college. The enlistment process that it takes to get into the Guard in the first place is a great introduction
mm-hmm.
to prepare them for the introduction process that it takes to get into college.
Correct.
Because
yes.
initially it is harder to get into the Guard than it is to get into college.
Okay, yep.
Realistically. So if you could get through the National Guard process into the Guard,
mm-hmm.
all right, it's going to make mm-hmm. you that much more prepared mm-hmm. to actually make your goal of going to college a reality.
Okay, and the follow-through, putting everything in line, making sure that you track forms and applications and make contacts and have contact logs and so forth, I can see where there's a tremendous amount of transfer. Are there any other programs? Now, we hear about the GI Bill and that kind of thing. Is that something that's fair to talk about at this point also?
Yes, it is. Now, depending on your time of service that you choose in the Guard, it could be 3 years, it could be 6 years.
Okay.
It is 100% up to you.
Okay.
If you choose to enlist for 6 years as an active drilling member of the Wisconsin Army National Guard, you will then qualify for the Reserve GI Bill Select. And that will put an additional $372 into your pocket while you're going to school to include your to include your drill paycheck.
Okay.
So you will receive the 100% tuition grant, you will receive the GI Bill, as well as your drill pay.
The 100% tuition grant, now how does that, is that just money that's given to you, or how does that come about? How does that grant
It is not given to you. And to clarify, the Wisconsin Army National Guard 100% tuition grant. So what that is that's the grant that's going to pay 100% of your college tuition. And you are eligible for it the minute you join the Guard.
Okay.
Right, before you go to basic.
Sure.
All right, now, what happens is you're going to go to college. Now, you need to make your initial investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The National Guard is not going to pay you to go out there and waste a semester having fun. You need to go there, go to college. You need to present a C or better on your transcripts. And you need to be in good standing with your unit.
Oh, okay.
After you do those two things at the end of that semester, after you've proved to do those two things, you do the necessary administrative paperwork at the veterans office at that college. And approximately 2 to 3 weeks later, you will receive a check for that tuition that you just paid.
Uh-huh. So
then from there, you take that check, you pay it forward.
This is a grant that you earn.
Correct.
Okay. So it's not something that is just an entitlement and it just falls in your lap simply because you signed an enlistment form.
No.
Okay.
No.
And that's good to know. And I don't know that there are many other opportunities that are that direct. This gives that applicant the opportunity to be involved in college oftentimes before they ship to basic training. There may be a period of time where they have to wait, and if at the end of the school year commit to the Army National Guard, the Wisconsin Army National Guard, and have a ship date somewhere in October because it can't happen overnight. Maybe they want to take some courses over the summer at Gateway Technical College, for example, and use that benefit to do that.
That's 110% correct.
Wow.
And they can do that. And we have soldiers currently doing that.
That's huge. So we talked about the Wisconsin benefit. Are there federal benefits that members of the Wisconsin Army National Guard can take advantage of?
There are federal benefits. Now, that GI Bill, should you so choose to enlist for that term of service that earns you that, benefit, that is a federal benefit. So the Wisconsin Army National Guard 100% tuition grant, that is your state benefit. The Reserve GI Bill Select, that is your federal benefit.
Okay.
Now, depending on the course of your career, which I don't have a crystal ball, so I cannot guarantee.
Right.
But depending on the course of your career, you will be eligible should you deploy or get activated for federal service for different periods of time. You will then earn additional college benefits.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned the magic word deploy, and I have a question about that I want to make sure that our listening audience completely understands. And deployment is oftentimes a maligned and misunderstood concept. I personally found it of the most exciting times that I was in the military, and after roughly 21 years, 2 months and 11 days, I still can recount those times as being those which really, really get you going. How does an active duty soldier, for example, one serving in Korea or Italy, or if they're deployed, for example, with the Wisconsin Army National Guard, how do they arrange for time to study in a college program that they signed up for? Or do they use their education benefits to do this?
If you find yourself on a deployed status, your time in college essentially is going to come second because
sure.
You're there to complete the mission for your state, for your country.
Yep.
So if you have the opportunity around your deployment schedule to take some classes, by all means, take them.
Right.
Majority of the time, they're going to be online classes.
Yep.
So you're going to have make sure you have a secure online service.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got to be a self-motivated self-starter.
Correct.
It's 100% on you.
Yeah. And but that's, again, part of that is again, just so exciting because often most of the places you're serving are resources are few and far between.
Correct.
In some of those somewhat less than developed locations. They are very remote. They're very loud. They are sometimes without electricity and those creature comforts that we tend to think about as crucial and critical to supporting that education progress. But that is some of the beauty of the deployed experience. Withstanding those challenges builds character in ways that oftentimes enhances that education process and outcome. So I think we have a tremendous amount of good basic information about how those benefits are accessed and who's eligible for them. Is there anything at this point that you would want to add, since I've been the one directing the questions, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to weigh in and say, oh, let's make sure that the listening audience is aware of this particular issue also?
I can. A lot of individuals do join the military for multiple different reasons. College and college benefits are one of them.
Sure.
I can say from experience that if you're joining the military for college, be involved in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of administrative work that goes into you actually using those benefits.
And the importance of those skills, though, is crucial to the combat skills and the tactically related skills. Now, with the equipment that's being used, even the basic if a soldier now goes out with just their basic initial issue or their basic combat load, there's going to be heads-up displays, graphics, information about not only communication but medicine and a raft of things that I don't think a lot of people are aware of very, very specialized skill sets that are supported in and primarily very highly valued in that educational setting. And those are classrooms that rival what most people would tend to experience in either their a high school setting or a technical college or four-year college setting. So I think that's pretty accurate.
It is very accurate. And a basic combat load or your full gear or full battle rattle, as we call it,
yep.
You're going to have state-of-the-art medical equipment on you.
Sure.
Which you need to get classes on and know how to use.
Absolutely.
You're going to have state-of-the-art night optics on you.
Yep.
Which you're going to have to get classes on and know how to use.
Right. And make repairs and troubleshoot. And,
exactly.
And all that goes into those that military transcript, which can result in transcripted credit if one was going to look forward to applying this to a postgraduate or a higher education degree.
Very much. And on top of it, all the equipment that you have, you need to know the science behind that equipment so
Absolutely.
That you know how to effectively use it.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, this has been refreshing, very, very important. On our Education Matters show today on WGTD 91.1 FM, our guest was Staff Sergeant Christopher Gordon, who's with the Wisconsin Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Noncommissioned Officer. And his office is, as I said, at the Kenosha Armory. And he discussed the education benefits, opportunities, and incentives available in the Wisconsin Army National Guard and their vital importance to ensuring successful duty performance because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening, and please remember this program will be archived for future reference online at WGTD.org. Click Talk and follow the options. Sergeant Gordon's information, by the way, is area code, is it 262?
Actually, area code 920.
920. If you'll give that number again, we'll be able to leave listeners with that information and sign off.
All right, outstanding. Anybody's looking for information about the Guard or information about joining the National Guard or wants to contact me for any type of community involvement, community support, because I'm very active in the community and I support my community, you can contact me at area code 920-889-0141.
Sergeant Gordon, thank you very much, and again, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from Grady Design Harborside Eye Care, now featuring private label frames that can be customized by size and color to your liking, specializing in thorough eye exams and superior one-on-one service. For an eye exam or frame viewing appointment, Grady Design Harborside Eye Care, 262-652-2020.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Symphony's Woodwind Quintet will present a short concert Saturday, September 12th at the Kenosha Public Museum starting at 11, a piece that was commissioned by the Kenosha Community Foundation to celebrate Harbor Park, and the symphony's new season will debut.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the United Way of Kenosha County will have their annual Day of Caring on Saturday, September 12th. 500 volunteers are needed to help do landscaping, park cleanup, sort